We're coming to our fourth Bible study in this important series concerning an hour when the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper. What a vital subject. Do you realize that in the Bible and in every generation and in all of our lives, why do the righteous suffer? Why is it that the wicked seem to go free and the righteous suffer? Why is it in the hour that we are now living in that you seem to be blessed if you do wickedness and you seem to suffer if you stand for what is righteous? Or why is it in our present generation, and it's moving fast and it's going to move much faster over the next year? I promise you, we have already entered into an evil day and a wicked generation, or a time when the wicked prosper. And I believe Psalm 37 gives us the answer to how we as the righteous, as believers in Christ, are to act or respond in this our generation. Reading with me here tonight from Psalm 37, the first 11 verses, as we have been reading on these nights, and we are coming to the fourth message here, already in looking at God's message in an evil hour. Or what does God say to his people in a wicked generation or an evil hour? Or more specifically, when we are the last generation and Matthew 24 begins to happen, iniquity begins to flood out across our world, and deception is rife in the church. What is God's message to his people? It's found in Psalm 37. This is our fourth message tonight, and in part one we looked at God's message, fret not. In part two we looked at verse 3, trust in the Lord. In part three last week we dealt with delight thyself in the Lord. But here tonight we're coming to part four, and my message is again taken from the text of scripture, verse 5, and it is commit thy way unto the Lord. Reading from verse 1 here tonight. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Will you bow your heads here tonight, and let's pray together. Let's agree together. This is a dark hour, an evil hour. There is a trap being laid by the great men of the earth, and I believe by some wicked men. The money men of this generation are setting a trap globally. Can I ask you, are you ready to meet this hour? Are you ready to shine as bright lights? Do you know what God is saying to the church in this hour? And do you know how to stand in this hour and to walk forward in this hour? Do you know the next step and how to walk through this flood and tide of iniquity and to prosper spiritually? Well, we're going to ask God to give us wisdom, both in the messages we've already preached tonight and in the weeks ahead. Saints, this is a vital and an unusual hour. You've got to be on your knees in this hour asking God for his wisdom, and that you will know how to walk. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you through the perfect righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come by way of the precious blood of the Lamb, and we're so glad for the Word of God. The Word of God is clear, and it is a prophecy to us in this generation. My God, I thank you that your Word is alive, and it's quick, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a lamp unto our feet right now, right in this hour, right in this city of Limerick. My God, your Word gives us answers and tells us how to live, how to respond, and how to walk through this hour of darkness. Father, I pray, let your light and your glory arise upon us individually tonight in this meeting. Make your Word a prophecy unto our hearts, and give us grace tonight, not only to stop fretting, not only to trust you, not only to delight in you, but here tonight to commit our way unto you, our God. I praise you and worship you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Our message here tonight, this fourth message from Psalm 97, commit thy way unto the Lord. It's a command, like last week and the previous weeks. Stop fretting, trust the Lord, delight in the Lord. Now we see this fourth step in a wicked hour and generation. What does the Lord say? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Remember, this is a command for an evil day when wicked men are prospering and the power of politics and education and of religion is passing into the hands of wicked men. They're going to have power in this hour. What does the Lord say? And I believe this is his message to us tonight. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What does it say in verse 5? Commit thy way unto the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Saints, this is a vital command given to the righteous to help them, to protect them, to preserve them in an evil day. There are consequences if you do not commit your way unto the Lord. Or there are good consequences if you do tonight commit your way unto the Lord. It's an evil hour. Therefore, the Lord says, it's an hour to commit your way unto the Lord. You've got to understand this command if you're to do it. You've got to understand what it means to commit thy way. What does it mean to commit? What is it that you're committing unto him? What is this way that you're commit unto the Lord? Let's begin looking at this tonight so that you know how to act in this hour of evil. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Please with me for a moment, underline that word way. This is what you're to commit unto the Lord. You're to commit your way. You say, is it this thing or this other thing? It's your way. This is the most important thing to do. And you must do it because it's an evil hour and evil men are going to be in power. Therefore, you must commit your way. Saints, I'm going to repeat this and repeat it again. I want you going to bed tonight saying, Lord, I want to commit my way unto the Lord. What does this word way actually mean here in Scripture? The word way here, listen carefully. It's talking about a pathway. The word way is a pathway. It is actually you walking along a pathway. This is what you're to commit to the Lord. This word way, which is the Hebrew word derech, it means the habitual daily route you walk every day, every week, every month, and every year. In other words, it's your future journey. It's the direction of your future life. It is a well-trodden path. It's the habits of your daily life. In other words, it's those ways of you operating. It's your habits. It's your ways of making decisions, your ways of action, your ways of response. It's become an absolute habit until this is the way that you live your life. It is the course of your life that you're going to take in the future, or in this generation, or in this hour when evil men are prospering. It is the direction your life is going to take in this evil hour. It is the way one is going to live his future life. It is the path that you are going to choose to walk in. It is the decisions that you make that send you in a certain direction and in a certain way. Do you understand here tonight as we begin this message? To commit thy way unto the Lord. This is what it is talking about. It's not talking about some small individual situation. It's not even just talking about a certain area of problems. It's actually talking about your entire future, the entire direction of your life, every decision that you're going to make, the entire writing of your future history. The Lord is saying, in an evil hour, when evil men are beginning to rise up and gain power, he says, I want you to take your future, the entire direction of your life, all of your plans, all of your purposes, whether it's about family, or whether about work, or whether about ministry, I want you to take all of it, and I want you to commit it unto me. I don't want you to take responsibility for it. I want you to commit it unto me. This word way is used 4 times in Psalm 37. 4 times. 2 of those times in verse 5 as we're reading here. And again in verse 23 that we're going to look at shortly. It is talking about the way of the righteous or the way of the good man. So this way, this entire future walk and plan and purpose, it's talked about twice specifically about the righteous man. Then in verse 7, it talks about the way of the wicked man. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. So it's talking about the wicked man and the way of the wicked man, the life, the future life of a wicked man, all of his actions, all of his choices, the whole way he's going to live his life. And he's telling you, do not fret. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Don't get worried about the wicked, how they are living their life, the choices they make, the direction they are going. Do not get angry about that. But it also says in verse 34, the 4th time it uses the word way in this psalm, it talks about the way of the Lord. What does it say in verse 34? Keep his way, or keep the way of the Lord. In other words, the Lord has a way. The righteous have a way, and the wicked have the way. And the righteous want to be sure by committing their way unto the Lord that their way becomes the way of the Lord. You see, the Lord has a way that he's going to walk through this generation. He's got a way that he is working. He has a pathway for the righteous to walk through this generation. And so he says, don't get upset about the direction the wicked are choosing. Just make sure that you commit your future, the entirety of your future life. Saints, do not miss this tonight. Do not miss it. We are told to commit your way unto the Lord. Now, what does it mean to commit your way unto the Lord? Listen carefully what the word commit here means. The word commit means to roll. In other words, you roll it off your own shoulders onto the shoulders of somebody else. In other words, the burden, the weight, the pressure of finding your future direction in life, of making the choices, making the decision, of walking through this generation safely, of taking the right pathway, being in the right place at the right time, being with the right people, being in the right church. He says, I want you, all of those decisions about work and family and church, I want you to take the whole future plan, the entirety of your future walk with God. I want you to take it, and I don't want you to carry the full responsibility of having to work it out, or having to make all the right decision, or knowing what to do and when to do it. Who could possibly carry that burden? Saints, I ask you tonight, who could possibly carry that burden to make the right decisions at the right time, in the right way, and to deal with all the right people in all the right way and apply the word of God? Who could possibly do that of their own self? If that pressure was on you, who could possibly do it? Since I'm a very weak man, and I've always confessed that, I'm a terribly weak man, but that is my strength, I want to assure you tonight. I can't make my own decisions. You may say, well, Brother Keith is very wise and he knows the word of God and he just seems to know the decisions to make. No, absolutely no. I am like a child, like a baby that doesn't know what to do in life, doesn't know the right decisions. This is what I'm like, saints. I mean, I have staked my life in this. I built my life upon it to commit my way unto the Lord. Since I am scared to carry the responsibility of decisions, I am scared to hold on to the rights of my life, my ambitions, my plans, my purposes, my way, my will. I don't want to hold on to that. That is too big a burden for me, and the decisions of life are too much. And so the Lord says here, in an evil day, it becomes even more important that you commit all this unto Him, that you look unto Him, that you actually trust Him with all of these things. You know what it's saying? Take from off your shoulders the responsibility and place it upon another. Who are you placing it upon? The Lord. Who's going to make the decisions for me? The right decisions at the right times? The Lord is going to do it. Who's going to show me what choice to make? Who's going to show me who to walk with? Who to marry? What church to be in? What direction to take in life? What to stay away from? And what to draw near to? Who is going to carry the weight of this? The Lord is going to do it. All He's looking for is individuals who are going to commit this responsibility into His hands. Saints, I assure you, I'm rolling this off my shoulders, and I'm rolling it onto the Lord's shoulders. The burden of it, the worry of it, the confusion of it, the indecisiveness of it. Do you realize by nature, by human nature or personality, I'm a very indecisive person. I'm someone who's hesitant, fearful, who will stand still. That's what I am by personality. And yet many of you will look and say, I'm very decisive. I know what to do. I speak very clearly and authoritatively. But that isn't my natural personality. It's because when I commit my entire way to Him, and when I roll it onto Him, that's the sort of person the Lord then makes me. Do you realize He wants you to roll all of your cares and your worries and your burdens and your problems? Who could carry all the worries of this life? Who could carry all the fears of this generation? It's an evil day, and it causes you to fear. What about my kids' education? What about my health? What are we going to do as a church? What about the finance? How am I going to manage with my family or my children? You know what? You need to make a decision tonight. It's an evil hour. There are many dangers. It's more dangerous tonight in this world of ours than it was 30 years ago. It's more dangerous for your children in school. It's more dangerous in the church. It's more dangerous in society. It's more dangerous under Western governments than it's ever been. You know what? You need to cast all of your worries onto the Lord. What does it say in 1 Peter 5 and 7? Casting all of your care upon Him. That is Christ Jesus. You cast it. You throw it. That's what committing your way unto the Lord is. You say, Lord, I don't want this. You know, My time in the church, I've seen a lot of Christians, they are holding onto the reins of the decisions of life. They are holding onto their plans. I will build my marriage my way. Yes, and you'll make a ruin of it. I will conduct myself in the church according to my thoughts and what I want. Yes, and you'll end up in disaster. That's what you'll do. You know, we were talking just the other day and saying about how many people we've seen. They've moved from city to city, town to town, going looking for a job. They didn't think about a church. They'll say, sure, I'll look for a church when I get there. And they get to a place. We have seen many over the years. And they go, because of a girl, they get married. Or because of a job. Or some other decision. And then they start looking for a church. And then we get a phone call and say, Brother Keith, there's no church here. Shouldn't that be the first thought? Shouldn't that be the first thought? I'm talking about many, but I've also seen people make decisions where they said, I want a church. I moved because of a church. Not money, not house, not family, not convenience, none of these other things. I make a decision in the will of God, casting all of your care upon Christ because he cares for you. Do you know he cares for you? I don't want to be the Lord of my life. I don't want to be in control of my life. Yes, I need to make decisions. Yes, I need to carry responsibility. Yes, there is a burden of prayer. But you know what? Finally, at the end of the day, I cannot carry that. It's too heavy. You know what Christ says? Then roll it upon me. Cast it on my shoulders. Do you know how large Christ's shoulders are? Do you know how strong the shoulders of Christ are? Do you know how much of a burden and responsibility he can carry for you? You can cast all your worries and your anxieties and your problems and your fears upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He doesn't want you carrying them. This literally means roll your pathway or your future life upon the Lord and trust in him, and he will do it. Saints, tonight, trust him with your future. Give it over into his hands. Put the steering wheel firmly into his hands. Get out of the driver's seat. Get into the passenger seat and let the Lord sit there. Fold your arms and say, Lord, I am submitting to you. I trust you. I believe in you. And he now carries it. He will direct the direction of your life. Saints, I'm telling you something real, where he'll carry the cares, the plans, the decisions for you, if you can but trust him. It says in Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You know the effect on you when you commit, cast, hand over all of your works, all of your actions, all that you're going to do, when you literally hand that over unto the Lord. Do you know what he says? Your thoughts shall be established. In other words, your mind is going to be settled. It'll become so founded, so grounded, so secure. When you commit all of your future works and decisions and actions and ministry and all that you do, when you commit it into his hands, your thoughts are going to become very, very settled. And what does it say in verse 5? And he shall bring it to pass. What's he going to bring to pass? If you commit your way unto the Lord, he will bring it to pass. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew? He shall go to work on your behalf. Isn't that wonderful? He is going to go to work on your behalf. There's something about committing your way unto the Lord that allows the Lord to step in and to say, I'm taking action. I am going to act on your behalf. Do you know some of you in this meeting tonight? You, in the past, in certain decisions, you have hindered the Lord from working. I promise you. You have obstructed him. Because you have been so active and so determined for you to get your way or for you to act, you know what the Lord had to do? Was sit back and cross his arms and say, I've got to wait for this believer to come to the end of themselves? Have you ever got worn out in your own activities and your own actions and trying to get things done, and you become exhausted and weary and come to the end and you say, Lord, I've had enough. You take over. And he says, thank you very much. I've been waiting all along for this. And he shall bring it to pass. As soon as you commit it to him and say, Lord, I commit it totally into your hands. Do your will. Have your way. He will step onto the field of action. He will suddenly break forth into action. Can you trust him for that? Notice with me what it says again in verse 5. There's a little sentence, there's the middle part of this verse I haven't mentioned yet. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him. You either, when you really commit things to him, how do you know you've really committed it to him? You're trusting him. You're trusting him. You know, some people try to trust God or have faith in God without committing their future into his hands. They haven't handed it over. So their faith isn't really faith. Lord, I'm believing you. Lord, I'm trusting you. No, you're not. You're still holding on to it. You've got to let go of it. You've got to let go of it. And there's some people who say, oh, I've given it all over unto the Lord. You're not trusting him. You're not trusting him. You're worrying night and day, night and day. And you're thinking, how am I going to do this? When you trust him, you say, Lord, will you help me? Lord, will you intervene? Lord, will you take control? Lord, will you be sovereign over all of this? And he says, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Here tonight, I'm talking about a wicked hour. I'm talking about an hour where it says in verse 12 here, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Or in verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. Or in verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Or in verse 35, David speaking, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. In other words, the wicked are spreading wide and thick. I mean, they're growing fast, spreading everywhere, taking over. They kill the ground for any other type of plant. That's what the green bay tree does. And he's given a warning here. There's an hour where it seems the wicked are so spreading in every area of society that anything righteous is being blanked out. It's being utterly done away with. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now we have said here already, we are to commit thy way, thy entire future from now until you stand before the Lord. You're to commit the whole thing into his hands, to hand it over and to say, I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you, Lord, with all of this. And I know that you'll work in all of these things on my behalf. It's an evil hour and I need to trust you like never before. Now that's the entire way. That's the entire journey. But let's narrow it down here tonight for a moment. The way or the path, the way that we talked about is the entire future life that you're going to walk out and live out. But this chapter also mentions the individual steps. And this is what I want to deal with in 6 points here, if I can. 6 clear points about the steps, the individual steps that you take and about committing them unto the Lord, the individual steps, not just your entire future, all of your plans, all of the direction, your entire future, family, church, business, work, finance, whatever it is, emotional, relationships, friendships. But I'm going to give you 6 clear points here from this Psalm 37 that shows us how to gain the guidance of God and how to be led through this hour. This chapter also talks about individual steps in verse 23 and verse 31. So we have the entire future life called away, the pathway, your entire life that you live out and walk out. But it also talks about the individual steps of a righteous man. Let's look at these 6 points quickly and please note them with me here. They're all distinct verses. Number 1, Every step committed. That's my first point here. Every step committed. Verse 5 again. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But saints, let's narrow that down. Commit not only thy entire way, the entire future, but commit thy individual steps. What is a step? Let me define a step for you. A step is a pace. It is the smallest movement that a human being takes. One step. One step. One action of the leg. You move one leg. Let me just speak to you simply here. You move your right leg forward, place it down. It's less than a meter for most of you. A good stride of mine is 1 meter. Most of us take less than a meter step, and then you bring your other, and your entire body follows. That is an individual step. It is a small movement in a certain direction, and it takes you forward into something. That is what a step is. You're either going to step in the right direction or the wrong direction. You're either going to step into the blessing of God, or you're going to step into the disfavor of God. You're either going to make a step in line with God's word, or you're going to make a step according to your own wisdom of your own mind. That's what you're going to do. And what does it say here? Listen to my point again. Every step committed to the Lord. Saints, I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to even move in a direction. I don't want to even have a conversation with an individual without committing it to the Lord. The individual small steps. You see, how do you commit your entire future to the Lord? You start with the first step. See, tonight you might look back in your past and say, I made wrong decisions. I didn't commit my way to the Lord. I didn't do that. Well, tonight you can redeem the time. How are you going to do it tonight? As soon as you leave this meeting tonight, you are going to make a step. There'll be a choice. There'll be a situation. And you'll make that first individual small step. It's not far. It's not far away. You're going to face it before the night is out. Or you'll face it first thing in the morning. And it doesn't take you far. And you may say, well, I know I'm making my step here, and it mightn't be the right one. But you know what? It doesn't make a difference. Oh, I know the first step doesn't look like it's taken you far. But take 1,000 of those steps. Take 10,000 of those steps, and you're going to find yourself a long way down that road. I assure you. So that first step, you're to commit it to the Lord. Someone once spoke about the prayer of relinquishment in as far as committing your way unto the Lord. In other words, you reach a place and you say, not my will, but your will be done. That is relinquishment. I'm taking my hands off it. I'm not pressing my thoughts onto it. I'm not forcing my feelings into it. Lord, this is your decision and I want you to have your way. Show me what to do. Show me what the Bible says. I want this step to be made in your will. I wanted to have your blessing. I want you to be involved with this. You know, when we push God out of the steps, then he is hindered from working in our entire future lifestyle. Saints, be very careful here. Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him. Concerning the small steps. You say, but I'm worried about making this step. Some of you stand there terrified, scared to make that step. But have faith in God. Have faith. Commit everything to him. Hand it over to him. Allow him to be in control. Then make a step with faith and trust in. I know he's going to guide me. I know he'll protect me. I shouldn't be worrying about this. Come to rest in these things. Have confidence. Have a reliance in the Lord. And then your soul will be at rest in a very real way. That's my first thing. Every step committed. This is how you do this, saints. This is how you commit your way to the Lord. Every step committed. Individual, small steps, even over small things. Just trust the Lord. Second of all, every step established. Look at verse 23 with me. What does it say in verse 23? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, delighteth in his way. What's my second point? Every step established. Not only every step committed unto the Lord. And believe me, if you commit your individual steps to the Lord, every one of your steps will be established. That's what verse 23 says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What is a good man, or who is a good man? This word is a common word for man, but it means more than that. If you look up this word good man, it means a courageous man, a warrior, a fighter, or a real man. Now this goes for you ladies as well. It's a generic term. But specifically, it means a man who's a real man. Isn't it hard to find real men in this iron generation? Most men in Limerick are drunk in some pub. They'll betray their partner or their husband or their wife. They'll go and sleep around. They think that's a man. Someone who spends all their money on drugs, they think that's a man. They stick their chest out. They boast. They're proud. They treat their girl or their woman or their wife terribly, and they think that's a man. That is not a man. Most of those guys, and I've had to deal with so many of them, I'm convinced they're cowards. I'm not scared of a one of them. I never have been in my entire life. I don't care how angry they are. I don't care how dangerous they are. Most of those men are cowards. If you treat a girl like that, you're a coward. If you waste your money like that, you're a coward. Since a good man looks like something, and can I say, a good woman looks like something as well. We're not like this world. Do you know what a good man and a good woman is? They are a fighter. This life isn't easy. Oh no, it's not. You can go with the flow of sin. It's very easy to be carried with sin. It's hard to stand for righteousness in an evil hour. It's hard to be holy in an hour. It's hard to fight when you get tired in the battle. When you've had to face thing after thing after thing. When people laugh at you in the workplace. When people separate from you. You know what? You need to be courageous. You need courage in this hour. What's my point? Every step established. You see, God doesn't establish everybody's steps. Oh no, he doesn't. Oh no, he doesn't. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you're a coward and you just go the way of the world and you don't obey God, then you cannot have faith that God is going to order your steps. You cannot. You know, we've met people who said, oh, the Lord's guided me, the Lord's direct me, he is going to establish my ways. But they're cowardly, spineless men and women who always compromise and always get blown around with the wind. God will not establish your ways. It's only the steps. Notice that. The steps, not the entire full plan and purpose, but the individual steps. Do you tonight want every step established by the Lord? The Lord stepping in and saying, I'm going to establish your individual steps. I'm going to be there for each one of your steps that you take, and I'm going to establish them. What does it mean, this order, the Lord ordering your steps? It means to establish them, to set them up, to raise them up, to make them secure, to covenant himself, to absolutely secure every step. I mean, make it a strong foundation, every single step that you take. You know what? If you actually commit your individual steps to the Lord, and if you have courage, and if you trust the Lord promises here, I will order the steps of a good man. I will establish your individual steps. Are you facing a step to buy a house, to apply for a new job, to move from country to country? Are you dealing with your children? You know, some of you with family issues, you never allow the Lord to work. Your hands are so upon it, and you're not doing the will of God, and it's a mess. Take your hands off it. Take your hands off it tonight. and allow the Lord to begin to establish your steps. You're going to begin making decisions in the will of God, and you'll move in the right direction in the will of God, and you'll move under the blessing of God, and you'll move under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what he says here? The steps of a good man are ordered, are established, are made concrete by the Lord. Isn't that what you want in the evil hour, when everything is being shook, when everything is changing, when everything is moving? Don't you want your steps to be established and made concrete by the Lord? He also says at the verse, at the end of verse 23, and he delighteth in his way. The Lord delighteth in his way. You know what? If you allow the Lord to establish your steps, your individual steps, if you allow him to come in and establish those individual steps, one step, two step, three step, then the Lord will delight in your way, your entire future, your entire walk before him. He will delight in it. He will take joy in it. He will rejoice in it. Do you know what the word delighteth there means? It means that he'll bend over, that he'll bend down close into you, that he'll gaze upon you. You know what? When you walk the way of the Lord, when you walk in his will, when your steps are being ordered by him, do you know that he bends down and he actually takes delight in it? He is gazing and he is enjoying seeing you walk in the way of the Lord. It's actually his way now that you're walking in. It's not your way. It's not your will. If you allow the Lord to establish your steps, then suddenly it becomes the way of the Lord. You want to know, how do I walk in the way of the Lord? Well, it's individual steps. Commit them unto the Lord. Take your dirty hands off them. Take your tight grips in. I can't let go. And the Lord saying, let go. The Holy Spirit saying, let go. His way, the pathway that is made up of many individual steps ordered of the Lord, the pathway he rejoices in, you've allowed him to establish those individual choices. Third of all, every fallen step redeemed. Let me say that again. Every fallen step redeemed. You say, is that in this psalm? Yes, in verse 24. Look with me. Though he fall, talking about the righteous man. In other words, this psalm, in it, it doesn't say it's all going to be good. If you commit everything to the Lord, if you trust him, if the Lord establishes all of your steps, then don't worry, you'll never have any problems. He doesn't say that in this psalm. He says, though he fall. And it's not talking about sin. It's not talking about falling into sin or falling into fornication or into drunkenness. It is not saying that. Listen to what the word fall means. It means to cast down, to be overthrown, to fall down prostrate or flat on your face. You see, it says, though he, the righteous man, who's walking in the way of the Lord, though he be cast down. Do you know what this is talking about? Some failure, some tragedy, some trouble, some situation coming to the righteous, some suffering. You say, does this ever happen to the righteous? Yes, it does. What about Job? The whole book of Job is written. The Lord in chapter 1 is boasting about Job, about his righteousness. He is the most righteous man in that generation. Will he face steps that are troublesome? Will he actually experience a fall in his steps? In other words, he is walking righteous. He is a perfect man. The Lord called him perfect. He is a good man. He is a godly man. He is being guided by God. He is walking in the light of God's word. And do you know what? He fell. He didn't fall into sin, but he had a fall. In other words, he lost his family. Do you think he wanted that? That was a dark day. When his children died, when that house collapsed, it was a dark day when his wife turned him and said, curse God and die. It was a dark day. It was a tragic fall when he lost all of his possessions, all of his servants, all of his money, all of his wealth, and then finally he lost his health. That is a fall. You may say, where is God? God isn't guiding me. God isn't in my life. He isn't in the steps. How is it that I could have stepped from a time of blessing, a time of joy, into a time of sorrow, a time of plenty into a time of barrenness, a time of great joy with family into great suffering and heartache? Surely God is not in this. Saints, listen to me closely. This is a very important point. Every fallen step redeemed. Do you understand what I'm telling you here? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Joseph, you're going to be hated by your brothers. They're going to get jealous on you. They're going to turn on you. They're going to become spiteful about your words and your dreams and your garment given to you by a father. They're going to throw you in a pit without water. Then they're going to sell you to slaves. Then you're going to get carried down into Egypt. Then you're going to get sold as a slave on the sale block. Then when you're doing well and begin to get blessed by God again and get promoted in the house of Potiphar, then Potiphar's wife is going to attempt to seduce you and you're going to run from her. You're going to run from that sin. You're doing the right thing. And she's going to lie about you and say you tried to rape her. What a tragedy. This righteous man, Joseph, was accused of rape. He was innocent. He was absolutely innocent. And he's thrown back into prison again. He doesn't have the freedom of that house anymore. Do you hear me? That was a fall in the life of Joseph. Can any good thing come out of this? Job, don't worry. Do not worry. Though there is a fall, you will not be utterly cast down. Joseph, you're lying in the prison and you go, what's it all been about? Where is God in the guidance? Where did my steps go wrong? Where did I lose my way in this? I love the Lord. I'm righteous. I'm walking according to the word of God. Why am I sitting in a prison? Do you not think that prison is in the will of God? Do you not think that even a fall, not a fall into sin, but the tragedies, the hard things, the hard situations are the hard steps that a righteous man or woman faces. Do you not think they are in the will of God as much as the good things and the happy things? You see, we have a habit, all of us here in this meeting, if good things are happening to us, we say, I'm blessed. I've got a good job. Or this has happened. Or something else has happened. Or I'm feeling good. Then it goes wrong and we say, I must be out of the will of God. That's human nature. What about King David before he sat on the throne when Saul was chasing him and he's in a cave and Saul wants to kill him with a spear? Do you know what he says? What's the point of me living any longer? I might as well die. What's the point of me even being alive? There's no point in it anymore. I run from cave to cave to cave and the king of Israel is trying to kill me. My life is miserable. I the only people who are joining me are criminals. All the righteous people don't want anything to do with me. Look at this bunch gathered around me. They're all bankrupt. They're all scoundrels. They're all liars. They're all criminals. These are the only people who are coming out to be my friends. Can God be in this cave? Yes, God is in Adullam's cave. God's going to raise up an army out of that cave. God is in the cave. I assure you tonight, hear me, that God shall redeem those fallen steps. You're going to find, though you fall, you will not be utterly cast down. Elijah, you're running for your life. You're running from that wicked Queen Jezebel. But I assure you, my plan is going to be in all of this. You see, things go against us and we wonder where God is. You won't be utterly cast away for good. That's what he means. Oh, you seem to have a fall and your finances are in trouble or your job's in trouble or your marriage is in trouble or your children is in trouble. But I assure you, you won't be cast away talking about the Lord. Remember Paul in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. He says, we, the Christian in the church, We are troubled on every side. We, the apostles, me, Paul, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We don't know what to do, but we're not utterly in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not totally destroyed. Do you know what it says here in this verse 24? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Job, the Lord is upholding you. Joseph, the Lord is upholding you. David, the Lord is upholding you. Paul, the Lord is upholding you. Elijah, the Lord is upholding you. Do not be afraid in the midst of it. Even when you hit a step, when you come into a season and you go, how can God be in this? I'm doing the will of God. I followed the right decision. I was going in the right direction. How did I end up in this situation? If you look and believe that you're following the will of God and you did what was right and you end up in that situation, it's in the will of God. I know it may not feel like it. I know it's hard to believe that, but God is going to bring his will out of it. Fourthly, every step a testimony. Every single step, when you commit your entire pathway to God, when you hand over the reins to him to take control, every step a testimony, in the good and in the bad. Verse 25, I have been young, and this is King David as an old man speaking. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what King David is saying? He's saying, look, I'm writing this Psalm 37 for an evil day when wicked men rise up, when evil is prospering, when it becomes hard for a righteous man to live and to walk forward in any area of society. That's why I'm writing Psalm 37. And King David, as an old king, shortly before he dies, he says, I have been young, and now I am old. This is his personal testimony over decades, over a lifetime, over maybe 60 years walking very closely with the Lord in good times and bad times, times when he had a run for his life, other times when everyone hailed him as a great fighter, as Goliath falls. He'd seen a lot of things. You know what? Every step a testimony. There's a testimony on the field when he faces Goliath. There's a testimony with the lion and the bear. There's a testimony in Adullam's cave when he's so discouraged he wants to die. There's a testimony when a spear is being thrown at him and he doesn't throw it back. There's a testimony when he has to recover himself from the whole situation of adultery. There's a testimony with his child that dies. There's a testimony, saints, you the righteous of God, every step of your life, every decision, every circumstance, every new trial will raise up a testimony. You know what David says? I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. That is the testimony. It's not always that you have done right. It's not always that you have been perfect. It's not always that you have seen things clearly. It's not always that you haven't worried. But you know what? As David looked back upon his own life, this was his testimony. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. He looks back and he says, every step of the way, God never once failed me. God never once forsook me. Sometimes you need to be a bit down the road and look back and see that. Because when you're in the fire and you're in the trial and you don't feel God and you don't hear God and you don't see God, it's hard to see there's a testimony in it. It's hard to see the testimony of God. It's hard to lift up your voice and say, God is faithful in this. But you know what? As you look back, you're going to have to say, the righteous, God has never forsaken the righteous. God has never forsaken me. I've forsaken him at times. I've failed him at times, but he never failed me. And it goes on to say, and his seed begging bread. Notice here, the righteous never forsaken. If you're righteous in this meeting, if you're walking with God, God will never forsake you. And you know what? Your children will never be begging bread. You know what that tells me? Begging bread on the high street is the result of something in those parents. When those parents go bad, it'll affect those children. But a righteous parent, their child will never be in the high street begging bread. I promise you. Fifth of all here, every step governed. Every step governed. Verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Every step governed. What do I mean? Every one of your steps is to be governed by the word of God. It says here in verse 31, the law of God is in his heart. A righteous man who's being led by God, guided by God, his steps established by God. Do you know what? The law of his God is in his heart. That's what's guiding him. And none of his steps shall slide. If God's law is in your heart, your steps will not slide. That word slide there means to slip. Have you ever been out in the ice in the winter time, in the snow, and you slipped? Your feet have let you down. That step slipped and you had a great fall. Do you know what he's saying here? When the law of God is in your heart, those individual steps will not slide. They're not going to shake. They're not going to totter. If you take a wrong step, you're not going to take a wrong step that can be condemned by the enemy. The enemy may be watching for you to slide or to fail. But you know what? The Lord will not let your step slide. When you're trusting him and following him, when the word of God is in your heart and you're saying, God, I want God's word in my heart. I want your word, your written scriptures. I want it in my heart. I want it to guide my steps. If you're like that, saying, my every step is going to be governed by this word. Women, are you obeying what the scripture says concerning a woman? Men, are you obeying the scripture concerning what a man is? A husband, a father, a wife, a mother? Are you obeying scripture? Are you following your own feelings and thoughts and sentiments? I want to tell you, when God's word is in your heart, when you're obeying it, when it's hidden in your heart, you know what? That affects every single step. Having every step governed by the word of God. You're saying, I want to obey the word of God. When the word of God governs your step, none of your steps are going to slide. They're not going to slip away. The enemy is watching. Listen, the next verse. Verse 32. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. These slipping steps are about the enemy watching you, the wicked, the evil, the conniver, the deceiver in the church, and they're watching you. They may not kill you, but spiritually they're trying to do it. Emotionally, they're trying to destroy your character and your testimony, and they're just waiting for the opportunity. Or maybe someone is waiting for your life, but if the word of God is in your heart, you know what? If wicked men are waiting for you to make one wrong step, to slip up so they can catch you out, to falsely accuse you, to trap you, to catch you, to accuse you. You know what? When the word of God is guiding your steps, God is going to watch over your steps to make sure the enemy cannot do it. Many years ago, up in Northern Ireland, in a small community, there was a preacher, a godly, godly man, a great singer of the gospel, a great preacher of the gospel, a holy man, a good godly family man. And this is a true story. This particular night, on a Sunday night, he preached the gospel. And after the meeting, he'd so preached the gospel, the conviction of God fell. He was preaching salvation by the blood, repentance. He was preaching and the Holy Spirit was working. And after the meeting, there was a sinner came weeping and broken to speak to the preacher that night. And you know what? He took time out and he stayed, I mean, for an hour or two, just a few hours. He was there, laboring, praying, speaking to this sinner. He's just a preacher, unknown to him, as he is sitting there, talking to this sinner, pleading with this sinner, showing this sinner how to get born again. What he didn't know was down the road at his house. The IRA were waiting for him. They were hidden in around his house, waiting for his car to drive up, for him to step out of the car, and they were going to shoot him dead. This is a true story. And they were all there in the trees and the underground undergrowth waiting on him. And his wife came home, and his children came home, and some friends came home, and they all were in the house, and the IRA were waiting on him. And 10 minutes passed, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. Saints, I'm telling you, this is real. The scripture of God is real. The word of God is real. This is real life. And you know what the IRA is saying? We've watched them on these Sunday nights. We've planned this attack. We've planned this murder. We're waiting to kill this preacher of righteousness. And we're going to get him on this night. There's no way he'll escape from us. But they start to get nervous and say, where is he? Someone must have told him. Someone must have tipped him off. And they got so nervous to say, we're going to get trapped here, that they opened up and they riddled his house with bullets. His wife and children were in there. Nobody got hurt in that attack. They all fell on the floor. They were very shook up. But if he would have come any earlier to that house, he would have died that night, a godly, godly and a righteous man. Saints, I've seen this so many times in my life. I've had no one, as far as I know, try to kill me quite like that. But some years ago, listen to me before we close here. Some years ago, there was a group of pastors here in Ireland, and there was a leader who we had helped much. But he was setting a trap for me. And he got together a group of pastors and he made a plan. And he made a plan how to get Keith Malcolmson out of the way. And he was going to go to Shannon Airport. And he was going to pick up B.H. Clendenin from the airport. And he was going to take him to a meeting, a pre-arranged meeting, with maybe 15 pastors or however many there was. And in that meeting, they were going to condemn me and falsely accuse me and say that I was taking this school off course and that I was going in a different direction than Brother Clendenin. And they were going to say this Malcolmson is no good. And they were going to absolutely bring this attack against me. Well, someone in their little group notified me and told me everything they planned, told me everything they were doing. And he said, Keith, you need to get to B.H. Clendenin at Shannon Airport before they get to him. Well, do you know what I started to do? I started to pray and I started to meditate on the word of God. And I said, oh God, what do I do? Do you know a storm came, hit the coastline of Beaumont, Texas? A great storm went through that community the week before Brother Clendenin was to come over, and three trees went through his house. He went down to Houston, stayed for a month in a hotel with his wife. He told me later, he said it was like a second honeymoon for that month with his wife in the hotel, not able to go anywhere else. Saints, I could tell you many times these sorts of things have happened where the will of God, God has just led and guided through many plans and many strategies. You see, if the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. You can have people, liars, deceivers, manipulators, waiting to destroy you. I promise you, when you walk with God, you'll be like that preacher. The IRA are going to get very nervous, thinking they've been trapped, instead of trapping the preacher. My last point as I close here tonight is every step marked. And this is my closing point, sixth and last point. Every step marked. It says in verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Scripture commands you to mark the perfect man. Now who is this perfect man? He is a complete man, a mature man. He is an upright man. He lacks nothing. He has hidden the word of God. In making steps and looking for his future walk with God, he always goes to scripture. He is prayerful about every decision. He never goes into a conversation. He doesn't come out with flippant words. He guards his mouth. He is prayerful. He is slow to act and react. He is very careful in making any decision. He leaves no area of his life outside of the will of God. Every step is made in the will of God. And he is called a perfect man. What does it say? Mark the perfect man. You know what this means? It means put a hedge around him. Separate that type of man out from all the rest in the church or the world. If you find such a man, watch him very, very carefully. Take good note of him. Do not take your eyes off him. And in fact, it says, watch him over a period of months or years. Look what it says. For the end of that man is peace. In other words, watch him to the end of his days. I watch Brother Clendenin until his last day. I talked to him on the phone just a week before he died. We, Candace and I, were on the last mission trip that he ever took outside of the US. His last international trip, we were there with him in the same hotel, at the same breakfast table. We watched him in that last convention, in his last ministry. Thank God he was a Christ-centered man. He was a godly man. He was a spirit-filled man. He was a selfless man. I watched him to that last week of his life. And I assure you, he was a perfect man. You know what? I found a godly man who wanted to walk according to the word of God, make every decision according to the word of God. He was a careful man, a man filled with the Spirit of God. You know what I done? I watched him very carefully. I wanted to learn from him. And I watched him to the end of his days. And it says, for the end of that man is peace. Do you know how he ended his days? That last 24 hours, those last 12 hours, you know what he done in bed? He lifted those hands, he praised, he worshipped the Lord. When he got tired, his hands went down, he rested for a bit. Then he began to praise God. He never went to sleep straight through that night into the morning. He knew this is the hour, this is the morning I'm going to be with the Lord. And he just filled it with praise and worship and testimonies, hearing good reports from the mission field. And he began to rejoice and praise God. Saints, watch the end of a good man. It says in Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. We live in an hour that they say, don't follow Malcolmson. Don't follow Clendenin. Don't follow any man. I don't follow any man. I only follow the Lord. That is a load of tripe. It's utterly unbiblical. Do you know what the Bible says? You're to follow godly men. In fact, Hebrews 13 says you're to follow the example of the elders in the local church who have walked with God and walked with faith. Not the great and famous men, but the average godly men that we work with and labor with. You're to take note of their faith. You're to remember the word of God, the preaching they preach. If the Lord ever takes me, you better remember the message I preach to you. You better follow the faith that I walk. Saints, I have followed him. I love this Christ. I want to adhere to the word of God. You better follow my kind of faith. And saints, I'm not being boastful. I know my failures. I know my weaknesses. I know my lack. But I assure you, I put something into this life that I want you to follow me. Where you see me follow Christ, please follow me. And it says, listen, Hebrews 13:7, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. In other words, mark the steps of a righteous, perfect, godly man who's been faithful and finished the course. I've got a lot of godly people, men and women, all different types of believers that rise up in my mind. I've marked them out. And you know what? They made their decisions. They took their steps. They lived righteous and even suffered for it. But you know what? When it came to death, when it came to going to meet the Lord, they didn't regret it. Let's pray here tonight as we close our meeting together. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the way of the righteous. I thank you for these steps of the righteous here tonight in this meeting. And I pray when we all wake up in the morning, afresh, we will commit our way unto the Lord. We will commit our steps, our decisions, the direction of life, all of our plans, all of our purposes for family, for marriage, for home, for business, for work, for country, for ministry, for preaching, for leadership, for serving, whatever it is, Lord, I pray we shall commit everything into your hands and let you take over and be in control. We love you tonight. Thank you for these messages. Lord God, thank you for the wisdom of Psalm 37.